So, man. All right, here we go. So, I love that we had a do-over. A do-over. Like, I'm good with it, because God's good with the do-over. He's like, hey, you screwed up, I'm going to give you a do-over. That was not in my lesson. Not at all. It's just, that's just the way it works. It's like, Emily spends all this time, she puts the set together, she makes everything work, she shows up here, she totally messes up the entire set, makes Ethan rechange everything as far as lights and sound and backgrounds and all that goes, gets it all completely set up, and it still messes up. And is that not the way our lives work? We set all these plans out, do all these preparations, and it still doesn't work the way we want it to. And God says, it's okay. You can do it over again. That's good stuff. So that has nothing to do with my message in any way, shape, or form, because we're not. It's okay. I get it, but it really wasn't in my notes. Like, nowhere even remotely close. Today, we're going to really start the move into the world religions that we were talking about. And I'm going to preface this first by saying this has been very difficult to study. I've had to crack open books that I never planned on reading. I've had to read things that I never even dreamed that I would do. But it has actually been rather interesting because it's caused me to rethink things. It's caused me to test some of the things that maybe I wasn't solid on. And so with that, I'm going to say, we are tonight, we're going to talk about Islam. Now, the big kicker here, I am going to put on the screen verses from the Quran. They're in white. The Quran, I'll explain that in a minute. They're in white. Okay, but I want you to see and understand that I'm not making this up. Okay, just like with the Bible, I tell you guys, hey, actually go ahead, open the Bible up and read it because I want you to see that I'm not making this stuff up. So I want to give that the same respect that it's due so that you're not like thinking, oh, well, my youth pastor said something, so it must be true. Okay, so I started with Islam because it's the fastest growing religion in the world. At this point in time, it's actually growing about 3.5 times faster than Christianity. So Christianity is the largest religion in the world. Islam is second, and that gap is closing very, very quickly. So there is a high likelihood that you're going to interact with people of the Islamic or Muslim faith soon if you haven't already. Now, in culture, a lot of people believe that Christians and Muslims worship the same God. So they're like, hey, why are you guys fighting? Why are you trying to convert each other? Why is there this big thing? I'm going to explain to you tonight that's not at all the case. One of the big things that we talked about last week is the Trinity. Muslims don't believe in the Trinity at all. So before we get into the don'ts, let me give you the do's. Okay? Christianity and Islam agree. There is a God. Okay? We can all agree on that one? Yep. They believe too. They believe that Jesus was a real person. We're on that boat, right? They say love each other and love God. We're good with that, right? And they say that there is a heavenly place that we go when we die, or a place of eternal torment that we go when we die, depending on the choices we make in life. So, in Islam, God is known as Allah. Okay? That's his name. Okay, we don't want to call him God, we want to call him Allah. Don't ask me why. Actually, I know why. In Arabic, that the word God is Allah, but whatever. When comparing Islam and Christianity, it's important to ask what Islam is like, or what Allah is like, sorry. This is why I read some of this stuff. Islam teaches there's no other God except Allah. We believe the same thing, right? One God? Okay, not Allah, but one God, not 20. Good? Okay. So, they believe that Allah is the creator of the universe. Same page, right? Okay. They believe that Allah is completely sovereign over everything. Do we believe that? Define sovereign. In control of every single thing. Do we believe that? Not that Allah is, but God is. Yes. Okay, so our God is completely in control of everything. So, do we worship the same God? No. Like I said, the Trinity is a big one. The Muslim view of Allah is completely opposite of our God. The God of the Bible is completely and totally loving, understands everything that we've been through, understands love and relationships to the core. Having a God that doesn't understand those things leads to a religion that is completely and totally based on works and deeds instead of salvation. So, this will all make sense more as we go along. So, our big three questions as we move through this. What's the Bible? Okay, we know what ours is. Let's talk about the Muslim Bible. The Muslims believe that Allah gave the Bible to man. Right? But that it became corrupted. How? I don't know. Why? I don't know. That's just what they believe. So because the Bible became corrupted, God, Allah, had to send another book that can't be corrupted. Now, how the Bible can become corrupt? How one book that Allah sends can become corrupted and the other one cannot, I don't know. Okay? My job is just to give you the information, not explain the whole thing. So, he gave him the Quran. I want you to see something before we go further. Maybe. That one. My slides are out of order. I'm working on it. Hang on. There we go. All right. So here's red. The Bible. Testify to everyone who hears the Bible. Revelation 22, 18 and 19. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, the Bible. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. Verse 19, and if anyone takes away from the words of this book of prophecy, the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in this book. So he's literally saying, if you add to or take away from the book of the Bible, you're dead. Okay? You will not live for eternity. You will not inherit life, so on and so forth. So Allah somehow gives us the Bible and then adds to it. Big red flag. Off. Hey, okay, it's going to work. So Muslim tradition teaches that the Quran was given during an angelic visit to the Prophet Muhammad in the year AD 610. Now, that's important because AD generally stands for what? What? All right, so in the Christian world, we say it's after death. In the secular world, it's, forget the A, Anna Domini or something like that. Long story short, it's after death. So somewhere about 33-ish is when this transitioned over. So 33 AD, 610 AD. Wait, backwards for y'all. 610 AD. So like 600 years later, somehow he gets a magic vision from Allah. In a cave on a mountain, Muhammad claimed that angel Gabriel appeared to him and commanded him to recite the words the angel spoke. Now, why did he have to recite them? Muhammad, this big, amazing prophet, could not read and could not write. So he tells all of his servants that are there on the mountain with him, start writing this stuff down as I say it. So they write it on anything they can find. Yeah. Leaves, trees, rocks, shoulder blades, all over the place. According to Islam tradition, the Quran is only allowed to be read in Arabic. So, those of you that don't speak in Arabic today, you can't read it. You can't understand it. You're stuck. I don't know how this works. Okay? So why does it matter? Why is it important that somehow the Quran was only given to one person and not a whole bunch of guys, different than our Bible? Because it was made up? Okay? Almost, you're almost there. Why do we have that suspicion? Nobody knows. We talked about the Bible. Why is it such a big deal that the Quran was only given supposedly by one person from God? Yeah, there's no backup. So, let's just say you want to tell a lie. So you tell the lie. Simple and easy, right? How many people have to be believed? One. How many times can you tell that story to somebody else before the stories start getting messed up? Pretty much once. Like, if it ever goes any further than that, it's guaranteed to get messed up. Y'all all play the telephone game, right? Sit at the beginning, you're like, I love you. And at the end of the story, it's like, you know, Sally shells, sea sails down by the seashore, right? That's how this plays out. I don't know why this is funny. Anyway, so no one can keep the story straight. So if it's only given to one person, we've got no backup. Let me ask you another question. If there's the possibility that it's a lie, is anybody going to die for that? No, we discussed this a couple weeks ago. If you know something's a lie, you're not going to die for it. I'll give you the other big one. We cannot find a single piece anywhere evidentiary of the original writing that the Quran came down. Nowhere. Yet, when we talked about the Bible, there were how many? Hundreds. All over the place. Every time we turn around, things were backing us up. So, here we go. 2 Timothy 3:16, again, our Bible. All scripture is God-breathed, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. 1 Peter 1:20 to 21. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. So the people that wrote the Bible weren't interpreting things for themselves. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So, stop it. Here we go. Next big one, sin and salvation. As we begin to look down this, we're going to see that human works and deeds play a big part in Islam. The most important ones are the five pillars. This is what they live by and govern their life by. So, the first one, dadgummit. Ethan, you're fired. Totally not his fault, but it's okay, I'm gonna fire him anyway. The first one, their creed. You have to claim that there's no God but Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, believing this is the first duty of every Muslim. Our Bible says, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. Muhammad's not mentioned anywhere because he's not the true prophet. The second one, prayer. Submit to a daily regimen of praying five times a day. There are prescribed prayers prayed together. All Muslims face toward Mecca, the mountain where Muhammad supposedly got the Bible, the Quran, face towards Mecca to perform this daily prayer ritual. All adult male Muslims are to gather each Friday at noon for a community prayer and to hear a weekly sermon. Matthew 6, 5 and 6. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. So, definitely a difference there. The third one, almsgiving. Muhammad himself was an orphan. His teachings shine a great light on the need to give to the poor. Not a bad thing. Muslims are required to give 2.5% of their income to charitable purposes and also give in free will offerings that are above and beyond legal almsgiving. You have to. Like, you have to give 2.5%. I don't know if you can go to jail or not, but you're not going to heaven. So, jail, heaven, yeah. Our Bible. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. What does compulsion mean? A mandate. Yeah. So up here, we've got Muslims with this big, huge word, required. And this says, not under a requirement. Why? For God loves a cheerful giver. He wants you to give because you love him, because of who he is and what he did, not because some bully said you got to. Another day. We'll get there. Fasting. During the month of Ramadan, all healthy adult Muslims, except travelers, pregnant women, or nursing mothers, are required to abstain from food, liquids, it is supposed to say food, liquids, and sex during daylight hours. Oh. It's not Ethan's fault. He literally had nothing to do with this presentation whatsoever. So, we understand. Thank you for deleting sex. Anyways, this month of fasting lands on the 9th lunar month of the Islamic year, and Islamic tradition states that Muhammad received the first revelations from God during this month. That first revelations is huge, because what happens that they don't tell you is supposedly he was given the Quran at this time. After it was given and written down, he had 13 other visions adjusting, changing, and adding to the Quran later on. Keep that in mind. We'll get there. So when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others their fasting. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others you're fasting, but only to your Father in heaven, who's unseen. And your Father, who sees what's done in secret, will reward you. So there's like an underlying theme here of quit making a show about everything. Why would that be the case? Yeah, you're not doing it for God. You're doing it so that you look good in front of people. So the last one. Pilgrimage. Every Muslim is expected to take the pilgrimage to Mecca at least once. Mecca's in the Middle East, FYI. The pilgrimage is designed to solidify Islamic faith, display one's commitment to Islam, and promote the idea of worldwide unity among Muslims. Okay, so I don't know how you're going to do it, how you're going to afford it, how you're going to make it happen, but you have to. Here's what our Bible says. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. So, he's definitely not cool. The pilgrimage, you have to make a trip, like, to Mecca, because that's one of their rules. So, when you go over there, so I'll give you an example. There is talk right now, it's only talk, we're going to see what becomes of it, but there's talk right now of a trip to Israel in 2020. Okay, I want to go badly. Like, I want to go and stand on the Mount of Olives where Jesus was and see Golgotha and these different things. So there's going to, I mean, we're talking like a two-week trip here to go see all this stuff. I've got to imagine theirs is something similar, where they're going to go do things. They're going to go worship at this special temple and some of these things. But there is nothing that's actually mandated in the pilgrimage to go do. You just have to go. Yes, absolutely. So, back here. The Quran teaches forgiveness is based upon Allah's grace and a person's deeds and works. No one who follows Muslim teaching can be assured of their salvation because there's no way of knowing whether or not their good deeds outweigh their bad deeds. The Quran does not say that Allah seeks to save those lost in sin, and it actually states repeatedly that he does not love sinners. With this one, maybe. There we go. So again, white Quran. Say, obey Allah and the messenger. But if they turn away, then indeed Allah does not like the disbelievers. And do not argue on behalf of those who deceive themselves. Indeed, Allah loves not one who is a habitually sinful deceiver. Here's our Bible, Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates in his own love for us, while we were still sinners, Christ died. Allah says, hey, you want to be a sinner? I want nothing to do with you. God says, hey, you are a sinner. I'm going to give you a way out because I love you. In Christianity, we have assurance of our salvation because forgiveness comes from grace alone. The Bible teaches us salvation is an unearned free gift from God that can happen only through Jesus. Islam teaches that the best hope anyone has is that they've performed enough good works to outweigh the bad ones. And maybe, if that happens, Allah will offer grace and forgiveness. We'll get there in a minute. Muslims believe human beings are born sinless and good by nature. What do we believe? We're all born sinners. Do what? No. Yeah, we're all born into, like, when Karis was like one, she's running around doing dumb stuff, not because she doesn't know any better, but that's her nature. Naturally, she just doesn't know right from wrong yet. So, Muslims, since they don't have a fallen nature, they're not sinless, they don't think they need a savior. They depend on their efforts to make Allah happy. Allah is going to judge everyone on Judgment Day according to their works. The good works will cancel out the bad works, but nobody knows how many good works are enough. Yeah. And establish prayer at the two ends of the day and at the approach of night. Indeed, good deeds do away with misdeeds. That's a reminder for those who remember. How many of y'all want to go to bed at night trying to figure out, like, if you marked this off or, like, canceled these out? You want to go to bed doing that? Why? Like, what? Why would we want to try and remember throughout the entire day if we did more good than we did bad to cancel all that stuff out so that we can go to heaven? Instead of just... No, we're not talking about, okay, I think I'm, you know, doing better than I am bad. I'm good with that picture. What I'm saying is thinking every single day, did I do enough good to erase the bad so I've still got a chance to go to heaven? Like, that sucks. I wouldn't want to do that. So, again, if they've done more good deeds than bad, they hope Allah will forgive their sins and let them into paradise, but they can't be sure. They can ask Allah to forgive their sins, but there's no guarantee that He will. Do you not know that Allah belongs to the dominion of the heavens and earth? He punishes whom He wills and forgives whom He wills, and Allah is over all things competent. Quran. So literally, you're going to show up at heaven and you got judgment number one. It's going to be, did you do more good than bad? If you did, you move on. If you didn't, hell. So then you're going to move to judgment two and it's going, okay, you did more good than bad? Congratulations. Now, we're going to flip a coin and see if Allah wants to forgive you or not. That's where it sits. Whereas we're going to show up on the gates of heaven, we're going to look at St. Peter and go, my name is Aaron Christensen. I am the son of the living God. I'll take my place in heaven now. He's going to go through this book. He's going to go, Aaron, I got you. Your name's written in blood right here. Go on in. I don't know about you guys, but that sounds way better than the whole Muslim route to me. So, this leaves every Muslim uncertain of whether or not they're saved until Judgment Day. We don't have that. We can know without question. So to go to paradise, Muslims should believe in Allah, the prophets of Islam, and the Quran, angels, and Judgment Day. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 things. Here we go. O you who have believed. Believe in Allah and His messengers and the book that He sent down upon His messenger and the scripture which He sent down, and whoever disbelieves in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, and the last day has certainly gone far astray. There's a whole lot to make sure you believe in. We say, hey, believe in Jesus. That's all you need. They must repent and obey Islamic law. Even doing these things, again, isn't a guarantee. I think we're here. Yeah, here we go. So here's the Bible. For it's by grace you've been saved through faith. This isn't from yourselves. It's a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. We don't get to come in this room and go, I was a better person than you today. Because of that, I think I got a better shot to go into heaven than you. It's not the route we take. John 14:6. Jesus answered, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In Ephesians 2:4-5, but because of His great love for us, God, who's rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It's by grace you've been saved. So the big kicker, the big question we've been talking about for weeks, who's Jesus? Everything in life depends on what you do with Jesus. What do Muslims do with Jesus? Jesus is called by Muslims Isa. I-S-A. He was just one of the many prophets before Muhammad, of Allah. The Quran does acknowledge Jesus' virgin birth, His holy life, and many miracles. But inside all that, virgin birth, holy life, many miracles, just a man. virgin birth, many miracles, holy life, just a man. Before Muhammad. Before Muhammad. So, I didn't get that deep, but I can look if you want to know that much. So, okay, good. I really don't want to. Jesus must never be called God, Lord, or the Son of God. The Quran actually has many verses stating that Jesus is not the Son of Allah, and adds that anyone who says that Allah has a son is a liar. Unquestionably, it is out of their invented falsehood that they say Allah has begotten, and indeed they're liars. So remember, you look at, like, you know, Matthew 1, and it's like so-and-so begot so-and-so. It's like had a kid. That's what that means. So Allah has begotten, and indeed they are liars. Many Muslims think Jesus, or calling Jesus the Son of God, means that Allah had sex, which is highly offensive. The Quran also teaches Jesus didn't die, but was taken directly to heaven. Allah would not allow Jesus, a prophet, to die on the cross, for such a death would mean defeat. Muslims, what? We're not there yet. Muslims believe somebody else, probably Judas, was made to look like Jesus and die on the cross in his place. So, since Jesus didn't die, he didn't rise from the dead. Remember, he doesn't need to rise from the dead because they don't need a Savior, because they're not sinful. So here we go. Here's our Bible, Hebrews 7:27. Love this. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need, talking about Jesus, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day for his own sins. And then for the sins of the people, he sacrificed for their sins once and for all when he offered himself. Okay, remember, going back, don't call him the Son of God. Here's Jesus' baptism in Luke 3. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. Don't know who this voice was because it obviously wasn't Allah. You are my Son, whom I love. And with you I'm well pleased. And then Acts 2:36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. They don't need a Savior, so he never needed to die. Yet, why are they working all day long to try and make this guy happy? He did nothing for them. So here's where we rest. Islam worships a different God than we do. There's substantial differences. Our God loves us, and because of that, he acted on our behalf. Islam says, I'll do nothing for you. You do everything for me. Any religion that believes in a book other than the Bible, or added to the Bible, cannot be right. We saw that in Revelation. Any religion based on works and not the saving grace of Christ cannot be right. Because I want somebody to tell me, how many good works do you have to do to get in? We don't know. There's nowhere in the Quran that says, if you do 6,297 good deeds more than the bad, then you'll get in. So we don't know. We're rolling the dice every single day. And finally, like I said earlier, the first revelations came to Muhammad on the mountain. He got 13 others. If your book can be changed, how do we know it's true? So back to our final question. Everything in life depends on what you do with Jesus. Is he God or is he just a man? Did he die for our sins to give us grace and assurance of our salvation? Or are we constantly working our tails off to get a chance to get into heaven? We need to be grateful for what he did, for who he is, and live our lives out of gratitude for that stuff, not because we're mandated by some big bully in the sky. So, you got a couple of small group questions down there, again, girls, prayer room, guys, here. Yeah, pick up your mess.